In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground. And the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do Thou it for Thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against Thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in the time of trouble, why shouldest Thou be a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest Thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet Thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by Thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then the Lord said unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name, and I sent them not. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. If I shall enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against Thee. Do not abhor us for Thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of Thy glory. Remember, break not Thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not Thou He, O Lord our God? Wherefore, we will wait upon Thee, for Thou hast made all these things. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His most holy word. Before we get into the chapter in some detail, there's an overview of the chapter, I think, that needs to be said that we often miss. Partway through, after the description of the what's called the dearth, which I think is a drought that has led to a famine, right? A drought that has led to a famine, right? So we have no water, meaning no grass. No grass means no animals. No animals means no grass, no animals means no fruits and no food, right? So the Lord has brought them very low by not sending rain. So after that description, then, the Lord says to Jeremiah, don't pray for them anymore. Stop praying for this people. I'm not going to hear you. Don't pray. But I want you to understand what Jeremiah did. He kept praying for the people. Would we say that he disobeyed the Lord? No. No, we know better than that. We know that when the Lord says to one of the prophets in the Old Testament, don't pray for this people, what it means is, intensify your prayers unto me for them for repentance. That it doesn't necessarily mean that this is something that would be advertised to the people that would hopefully shake them, you know, from the human side, hopefully shake them out of their doldrums, their spiritual doldrums, out of their pride, out of their arrogance, out of their refusal to call upon the name of the Lord, out of their sin and idolatry. And so I thought it was fascinating here. And when we finally get to Jeremiah 18, Jeremiah will tell us why he's doing that. Actually, the Lord will tell us why it's acceptable to offer that prayer. And it is an interesting follow-up, and we'll get to this next week, Lord willing. Notice how chapter 15 begins. Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. So the Lord says, you know, let's hear the ongoing conversation. The Lord says, stop praying for this people. Jeremiah says, I'm going to keep praying for this people. And the Lord says, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, so keep praying if you want. Even if it was Moses and Samuel, I wouldn't hear you concerning this people. Right? And so the Lord, if you will, doubles down on His discouragement of Jeremiah's intercession. This only makes the prophet the more urgent all the way through. And we'll understand why when we get to chapter 18. If you'd like to read ahead, that's fine. But in chapter 18, we will understand the why of that procedure. Jeremiah does not leave us to doubt. The Lord does not leave us to doubt that. Okay, so that's, you know, the brief overview of the chapter. There's not a whole lot more to say, except that in verses 1 through 6, we have the dearth described, right? Then in 7 through 9, we have Jeremiah's intercession for the people. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it thou for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. And so what is Jeremiah asking for? He's asking for pure mercy. Not for anything that we have done. Not for anything that we could do. Our iniquities testify against us. No, Lord, on account of thine own name, on account of thine own covenant, on account of thine own promises, on account of thine own grace, upon those things, deliver us. And then he calls him the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof. And then he ends that section with, why shouldst thou be a stranger to us, right? Okay, so that's 7, 8, and 9. Then, in verses 10 through 12, we have those fateful words. First of all, the Lord indicts them. They've loved to wander. They've not refrained their feet. In other words, they've wandered against me or away from me. I will remember their sins, and therefore do not pray for them. And when they fast, I will not hear them. And when they offer their burnt offering, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. So that's what the Lord advertises to the southern kingdom. All right, so then in verses 13 through 16, there's a little bit of a pushback on the part of Jeremiah. It's not a rebellion against God. It's a continuing to cry out on behalf of the people. Notice what he says. He says, Lord, the prophets are prophesying peace. And the Lord declares, of course, I've not sent them. Well, this is one of those solemn things. The Lord says, they said there's going to be no famine and sword. Then those prophets will die by famine and sword. Right? And so what of ministers? Those of you who desire to be ministers of the gospel, what of ministers who do not preach the whole counsel of God, but preach out of their own minds or out of the popular playbook or whatever it is? Brethren, those of you who desire to be ministers, let this never be said of us. Let this never be said of us that we prophesied lies in the name of the Lord. Let that never be said, because the Lord will take up for His people, and woe to those shepherds that feed upon the sheep rather than feeding the sheep. Remember with the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, it is all about the sheep. Okay, so then verse 17. Jeremiah is to present a crying face before the people. Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. And then notice that the Lord says there's nowhere you'll be able to hide. If you're in the field, if you're in the city, it doesn't matter. The prophet and the priest will also be destroyed. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? This is Jeremiah's last remonstrance. Well, it's not really a remonstrance. It's an intercession. This is Jeremiah's last intercession in this chapter, 19, 20, 21, and 22. And notice that he uses the word us and we. Us and we. There's another peeve of mine. For those of you that desire the ministry of the gospel, or for those of you who are officers in the church and pray publicly. Gentlemen, may I say it this way? When we pray publicly, let us use plural pronouns. Let us use plural pronouns. Let us not stand up to purport to speak for a people and say, I. Right? Notice what Jeremiah does here. What does he say? Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. This is the language of intercession. And those who pray publicly, leading others in prayer, ought always to pray the first person plural. That is, that's the biblical pattern. And it draws us all in as a unit, as a body, as a covenant people, when we all pray together like that. If you were to come to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, that's what you will hear. You will hear that because we are praying as a people. We have certain voices that lead out in prayer. And maybe I'll just take another second here to vent another little peeve of mine. Again, it's good Bible truth that we want to understand here, right? And so sometimes we hear, if I was to come to your prayer meeting, you wouldn't let me pray. Really? Just because we have one person that is leading doesn't mean nobody else is praying. This is a really important principle that I hope we don't very often need to be reminded of, because we come to church every Lord's Day and I'm happy as a part of my job and as your pastor, and I love you to lead you in prayer. But I hope I'm not the only one in the room praying, honestly. And I hope you all see that and understand that. That when we have one who leads in prayer, and that is a leadership function, We want to be led in prayer by our officers because they are the responsible parties to lead us in that way. But that doesn't mean we're not praying. At least I hope it doesn't. So, we want to hear that word "we" because we are praying. Right? Okay, let's move on then. Notice, finally, Jeremiah pleads that the Lord would not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. That is, you know, where Jerusalem is. And then, remember, break not thy covenant with us. And finally, Jeremiah confesses for the people that there are no other vanities that can cause rain. No, Lord, you have made all these things. And when the Lord responds in chapter 15, verse 1, by saying, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, really what the Lord is doing is he's saying, I know you're praying and interceding for the people, Jeremiah, but the prayer of your mouth is not the prayer of their heart. That's really the tragic portion here that we see at the end of chapter 14. We see a very faithful prophet, as it were, bawling his eyes out on behalf of his flock. And for the flock's part, they don't desire to follow him. They have no desire to follow him. And the Lord telling him the truth, and he remaining faithful, interceding for the people. That's a sign of a good shepherd right there, a good example of what it means to minister and lead the people of God. All right, thus ends the reading then of Jeremiah chapter 14. Let's stand and continue.